Good morning to you all. If you look in your bulletin this morning, there is a prayer questionnaire. And I'd ask for you to look over those questions and answer them for yourself. Because they give you, I think, a good sense of where you are in your prayer life. And maybe if you're like me, many of us struggle with prayer. We overlook it in our daily lives. We get to the end of the day and we go, oh, I forgot to pray. Or we make it just something that is part of our checklist of the day. Oh, yep, prayed, got that done. And in many times we fail to see the very value of prayer. Because if we did see the value of prayer, wouldn't we do it all the time? But we don't. Prayer, though, is vital to who we are as saints. As I was thinking about it this week, I found it interesting. We don't have it recorded, that he ever taught his disciples how to preach. Think about what they were going to do. They were going to go out to the world and proclaim his message, but he never taught them how to preach. He taught them how to pray. And so this morning I want us to look, and we're going to look at this for a couple of weeks. Look at Jesus' teaching on prayer and how we communicate with our God in heaven. You have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to begin reading in verse 7. In Matthew 6 and verse 7, there it says, "And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." I want us to begin this morning actually by trying to sort of look at and answer one of the questions that's in the prayer questionnaire. We're not going to answer all of them, but that question is, who is prayer for? When you think about that, how would you answer that question? Who is it really for? Well, what we see is, as Jesus is continuing in the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about the Gentiles, or your translation may say the pagans. And he says the pagans, the Gentiles pray, and their prayers are for their gods. Because he says that they pray with meaningless repetition, or many words, as he says. He says they expect to be heard because of their many words. The many words there could be, other translated, mindless words. That the more they say, the more likely they thought that they would be heard. As one person put it, that they were trying to fatigue their gods with their words so that the gods would say, "Okay, finally, just stop. I'll give you what you want." And they placed an importance upon the form of prayer. That it was a matter of the way in which I say something is really what they were getting at. The mechanics of it. there was no heart in what they were praying. They were just saying something that was rote. They were saying it a lot of times in hopes that their gods would hear them. But what Jesus says is, don't be like them. Because he says, the Father knows what we need before we ask Him. Which means to us that He's neither ignorant that we need to instruct Him, and He's neither hesitant that we need to somehow persuade Him in our prayers. Jesus says, He knows what you need before you ever ask it. Which really then begs the question then, well, why should I pray then? If He already knows what I need, why should I go to Him in prayer? And that really is the answer to that question. Prayer is for us. Because prayer helps us to know God. It helps us to relate to Him. John Calvin said it in this way. Believers pray in order that they may arouse themselves to seek Him, that they may exercise their faith in meditating on His promises, that they may relieve themselves of their anxieties by pouring them into His bosom. In a word, that they may declare that from Him alone they hope and expect, both for themselves and for others, all good. Prayer helps us to focus on what truly matters in this life. That when I am engaged in prayer, the petty things of this physical life fade away. And the true spiritual things shine through. And so what we see then is prayer is not about the form, but it is simply opening up in earnest conversation as a child to their Father. And so Jesus gives us a model or a pattern of how to pray. Now it's interesting because in many today, if you just say, oh, well, the Lord's Prayer, I bet irreligious people could probably quote the Lord's Prayer. And there is many times where people will just say the Lord's Prayer. He's not talking about, hey, I want you to pray this prayer. Because if that's the case, then that's no better than the pagans and the Gentiles, because they're just repeating things over and over. But what he is doing is he's saying, here, I want to show you what you need to know as you approach your Creator. That he gives us everything that we need for intimacy with the infinite. Now, as we think about that, I want to tell you that prayer is not easy. Prayer is hard. And it takes learning and work to know the very depths of prayer. Now, someone may say, well, wait a minute, you just said that it's like just a child talking to the Father. That seems very easy. But think about prayer. Try praying for 30 minutes and focus on nothing but our infinite Creator. We don't have the strength to do that. Because what happens? Our mind starts to wander. We get over here and we're so intent on God, but then something happens and it sends our mind to all these other places. John Newton, who wrote the song Amazing Grace, way back then he said this. He says, I feel so weak in prayer that the buzzing of a fly in the room is an overmatch for my strength. Has that ever happened to you? I mean, we think, oh, well, it's just talking. Yeah, but it's hard. It's hard to pray. And the reason it's hard is because it is personal, not a ritual. When you think about what we are doing in prayer, someone once said it this way, the reason our prayers are boring is because we don't know the one to whom we are praying. We're learning to talk with someone we don't know. Think about it. If you meet someone for the first time, you don't know anything about them, how does that conversation go with them? Does it flow easily? Or is it sort of strained? I submit to you, it's sort of strained. You're sitting there in your mind as you're talking about one thing, you're thinking, okay, well, what am I going to talk about next? And you probably repeat things over and over. You know what you do? You talk about trivial things. You talk about the weather. Hey, how's the weather today? I don't know. It's supposed to get up to 80 degrees. I mean, we do all of those things. Why? Because we don't know the person. Has that ever happened in your prayers? Maybe you repeat things over and over. It's because we don't know our God. Prayer takes time. How much have you prayed this week? I mean, if you just had to calculate the math up, how many minutes have you prayed this past week? Now think about the conversation that you have with your very best friend. How does that conversation flow? Are you sitting there with your best friend trying to go, okay, what am I going to say next to them? Now, it might be that way that you just have so many things that you want to talk with them about that you've just got so much stuff. But there's never a drag, there's never a lull in the conversation because we know them. We want to be with them. We enjoy talking with them. I challenge you this week. Actually, for the next 3 weeks. Could you pray 20 minutes every day? For the next 3 weeks, see how that changes your relationship with God. Now, when we think about this idea of prayer, we really need to be thinking about, well, what is our approach? He is the creator of the universe. How in the world do we approach Him? Let's think for a moment about the context of approach, or the way in which we approach others. There is a certain set of assumptions when we approach anyone for an interaction. There is a certain basis that determines our level of interaction. For example, you go up to a stranger. What things can you say to a stranger? You might can ask them, if you're lost, you can ask them directions. Hey, do you know where this place is? You can ask them for the time of day, right? Because there's a basis there. You know, maybe it's just common humanity. Maybe it's the idea that they've been lost before, so they're willing to help you out if you're lost. But what can't you say to a stranger that you've never met? You can't go up to them and go, hey, how's your mom doing? They would look at you like, who are you? That you can't go up to them and say, hey, how much do you earn? What kind of money do you make? We just don't do that. There is a basis in which we interact with people. And I would say that there are two ways in which we interact in our relationships. And they're sort of on either end of the spectrum. And sometimes there's differentiation or variations in between. But there's two ways in which we interact with people. One, we interact with people in a business relationship. Or we interact with them in a family relationship. Now, in the business relationship, the basis is what I have for you. I've got something that I can then give to you. And it operates on performance. That there is, I'm going to do something in exchange for some goods. But it involves conditions. if I do this, then you will do that. That's just how we interact with people. And what then happens is the way to gain acceptance is to perform. Think about your work environment. And you think about how some new person comes in. How do they relate to their boss, to the coworkers? Well, it's through performance. If I do a good job, then I'll be accepted into my work situation. If I don't do a good job, I'm kicked to the curb. It's a matter of what I have to give to someone else. That's how we relate to people. Unless we relate to them in the family relationship. The basis there is what I am to you. It's not dependent upon what I have for you, but it's who I am. And that operates on a commitment, a permanent commitment. For example, you take the worst criminal in the world. And who loves them? Their mom. I mean, they could be just the most terrible person, and their mom thinks they are just great. Well, why? Because there is a permanent commitment that has been brought about because of the family relationship. It says, because of who you are, I love you. Not what you do. And so it's unconditional. There's no conditions placed upon this that says, well, if you don't do this, then you don't get this. And what we see is acceptance then is already there. And so then you perform. A child is part of a family by birth, not by what they've done. And so we relate to each other in one of these two ways. And there could be, as I say, there can be some variations. A lot of times we move from the business relationship and more towards the family relationship. But I say all of that to ask this question then. How do we approach God? And He tells us. He says, you come to me as Father. You see, prayer only works on family terms. It doesn't work if we have a business relationship with God. The way we approach God is only as Father. And the extent to which we understand that determines the depth of our prayer life. It determines the power that we have in prayer or don't have in prayer. Because I want you to consider this. Consider how a child relates to his father. Think of that picture is there. Maybe that's a toddler or a 3 or 4 year old. How does that child relate to their father? Most oftentimes when the father comes home, what happens? The child just runs, Dad! You're home! Now, is the child necessarily wanting something from the father? No, he's just excited that Daddy's home. He wants to be around him. God says, that's how I want you to relate to me. That it's a warm, confident, loving, personal relationship. And I think about that mental picture of a child just crawling up into the lap of their father. That's a secure place. That's a loving place for that child. But if we approach God in the business relationship, we really fail to relate to Him. Because what we do is we begin to use God. We say to God, God, okay, this is what I want for my life. I want to be happy, God. God, I want to be I want to have a life that is so filled with just joy and happiness and success. So how do I get that, God? Oh, okay, I got to come to church. Okay, I can do that. Okay, I got to clean up my life. Okay, yeah, I can do that. But then what do? We start bargaining with God. Well, how much? How many times do I have to come to church? How much do I really have to clean up my life? What are we doing? We're in a business relationship, or at least we think we are, with God. God, here's my part. You do your part. God says, that's not how it works. See, God has brought us into His family to be His children. Notice in John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. He's talking there about adoption. He says, look, this is what it is all about. I want you. You have the right to become my child. When you think about adoption, it's not the result of the child's efforts. The child doesn't parade himself around and say, well, look what I can do here, prospective parent. I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. That doesn't happen. It is all about the efforts of the parent, of the prospective parent. And what God is showing to us is that He says, I want you to be my child. Think about it. In adoption, if a child misbehaves, the adoptive parents don't go, well, hey, time to send you back. They may want to do that sometimes, but the idea is, no, you are mine now. Through thick and thin, through good and bad, you are mine. So it is that He expresses love, greater love than we can ever imagine. Because I want you to think for a moment, how much does the Father honor, love, and glorify Jesus? I mean, we can't even get our minds around that. But do you realize that that is the same love, the same glory, the same honor that the Father bestows upon you and me as children? Because He says, Jesus says, in John chapter 17 and verse 23, talks about the love that the Father has for Him, and He says, even as you love me, so you love them. Ponder that for a moment. Here is Jesus who died on the cross, didn't deserve any of it. And God expounds His love, exalts His love for His Son, and He says, I love you in the same way. And we go, no, wait a minute, Lord, you can't do that. Don't you know how bad I am? Don't you know the bad things I've done? God says, it's not about what you've done. Jesus took care of that. It's about who you are. So the question is, do we approach Him as our Father? Do we relate to God as the Gentiles did, or as saints? Because the pagans came with many words. It was cold and mechanical. It was about saying, well, God, I've done this and this and this, so you need to do this and this and this. As one person said, you can know your relationship with God when it comes to unanswered prayer. Do you get angry when God doesn't answer? Do you get anxious? Because you know, well, I haven't done this and this and this, so I don't know if He's going to answer me or not. Does a child ever worry about how his father is going to answer? He just sits in his lap. Yeah, he may ask for things, and the Father may say no, because he knows better. But it is a matter of that kind of relationship that we are to have. Not a business relationship of, I do my part, God, you do your part. Are your prayers cold? Are they mechanical? Do you feel that you have to do them? Do you always feel guilty for the things that you haven't done? If you do, you're not relating to God as your Father. Because saints come in prayer not on the basis of what they have done, but because they are children of God. And God is just as committed to us as He is to His Son, Jesus Christ. And when we begin to understand this, our prayers become warm and confident and loving and personal conversations with the One who loves us beyond all measure. Truly, how deep the Father's love for us. Prayer is not easy. But if we are going to be kingdom citizens, then he says, we need to learn how to pray to our Father. And that begins by coming to our Father. Not that we have worth of our own, but Jesus lived the life that we should have lived. And he died the death that we should have died, so that we can be sons and daughters of our Father in heaven. I'll close with this verse. We read verse 12 in John chapter 1. But as many as received Him, to them He gave them the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. But verse 13 says, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. If that doesn't bring a smile to your face, I don't know what does. Because the Father says, I want you to be with me for all eternity. This morning, are you His child? He makes that possible through Jesus Christ and being baptized into Him, so that we can have forgiveness of sins, so that it's not on the basis of what we have done, but what Jesus has done for us, so that we can call Him Father. If you have any need this morning, won't you come as together we stand and sing.
Who has the power?